Heavenly Father, come to you in Jesus' name, just thank you for this opportunity to be before your people. Pray that I would decrease and you would increase, Lord, that you would give the people ears to hear what your spirit is saying. I pray, Lord God, for open hearts, Lord, that they would receive this word and that you would give the increase while it's going forward at the same time, Lord. Be with us in this place and close us unto yourself. And when it's over, we promise to give you all the glory and the praise. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Last time we were up here, we were talking about the great gain of contentment. And I'm going to just give you a little recap, go back over it. What contentment is soul satisfaction in Jesus Christ. That's what true contentment is. It's when you're satisfied with the Lord. To be content means to be satisfied. It means that you are good. It's like, I'm good. And so true contentment, we talked about 2 weeks ago, is found only in Jesus Christ. It's not found in anything else. And whenever we try to put unrealistic expectations on other things or other people, life just, it doesn't go well. Since Jesus Christ is the source of contentment, whenever we seek contentment in other things, you're asking them to produce something that they can't provide. If you want some orange juice, can you get it from an apple? If you need some puppies, can you get it from two kittens? If you need some milk, can you get it from a giraffe? No. So if you want true contentment, you can't get it from a spouse. You can't get it from a child. You can't get it from a job. You can't get it from money. You can't get it from the praise of men. You can't get it from any of those things we talked about 2 weeks ago because you're asking them to fulfill something that they can't fulfill. You're asking your wife, husband or future husband to be your savior. And they can't be your savior. So you're putting unrealistic expectations on somebody. You're looking for them to produce something that they can't produce. And therefore, now you're mad with them, but you're searching for something that they can't even provide for you. And so we said, true contentment is found only in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's true contentment. Now, y'all, last time when I was up here, I forgot to tell you, when I say contentment, it means that you're satisfied with Christ alone. Even if this or that doesn't happen, I'm still good. I'm not leaving the faith. I'm not going to stop coming to church. I'm not going to stop reading my Bible, praying, stop giving. That's what contentment is. But what I forgot to tell you is, all because we are content in Christ, that doesn't mean that we don't have freedom for modifications. Somebody say modifications. Yeah, just got to hit this right quick. Christ, the Bible says, for liberty, Christ has set you free. So all because we are content in Christ, don't get super spiritual on me and take it to the extreme. It's a balance that we must have. If someone is born with a poor eyesight, I can't tell them you need to be content with your eyesight. You don't need to get no glasses. That's how God made you. Get your stick. That's not what God is talking about. If somebody wants to put some braces in their mouth to straighten out their teeth a little bit, I can't tell them, well, you can be content with your crooked teeth. You don't need no straight teeth. You better wait for your glorified body. You're going to be all right. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says for liberty, Christ has set us free. We have freedom in Christ to fix those things. But even if I never do get the braces, I'm going to still praise him. I'm going to still serve him. That's what we mean when we say contentment. It don't mean that you got to just stay the same. You can put you some braces. You can put you some glasses. You can change the color of your eyes if you want. But if you didn't get those things, would you still praise him? That's true contentment. You see? And so, but you got freedom to go do what you want. You could add hair, take hair away, do whatever you want to do. You know? You got a prerogative with God to do certain things. It's not sin, you see? So when I say contentment, we're talking about soul satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Nothing too extreme. Last time we talked about just being content in a lot of different areas. We said you got to be content in your marriage. You got to be content if you're single. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes as singles, you might find a source of discontentment because nothing is wrong with wanting to be married. That's a godly thing, right? The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. He that find a wife, find a good thing, correct? But when you don't have that spouse just yet, how is your attitude towards God? Are you still worshiping? Are you still faithful? You see, you got to show God that he is enough and that you're not going to put that spouse before him. Otherwise, he's not going to give it to you because he's a jealous God. Now, you can go get you one yourself, but he's not going to be the one that give it to you. See, Samson had the Spirit of the Lord upon him, doing miracles, But he wasn't content with the Lord. He had to have a strange woman upon him too. So you got to watch it, huh? You got to watch. We said you got to be content with Jesus Christ, with the God of the Bible, knowing him and him alone. Paul the apostle is the writer, we said. But, you know, God is the author. He used Paul to write this. And Paul has been locked up many times for preaching the gospel. Paul not just telling you something he never lived. Paul is content with Jesus Christ. Paul said he was beat by the Jews a bunch of times, 39 lashes. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. Went back in the same city they stoned him in after they stoned him. That's how content he was with Christ. Paul is the same one in this book who says to live is Christ and to die is gain. There's nothing that can separate him from the love of Christ. He was fully persuaded that Christ was enough. He's not just saying this, y'all. He was living this. He was living this. This is real. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, personal, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul say, everything I ever had, all the friends, everything I lost for Christ, he said it was worth it. He said, I count it as dung. You know what dung is? Excrement. Poopy for the kids. Number two, he said, when you put the riches, the friends, the family, everything this life got to offer on one side, then you put Christ on the other side, those things compared to Christ is dung. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said some dung, man, in comparison to Christ. And so this is what true contentment is. He was satisfied with Jesus, y'all. He not pretending. He not trying to. This is the real deal right here. And when you got a man like this, a woman like this, they immovable, man. The devil can't do nothing with a contented believer. And so if you get this, man, you're going to be a problem for the enemy's camp. You're going to be a problem for the enemy's kingdom. Because you're not going to be moved by light afflictions, which is for but a moment. Paul said, I don't know what your prayer request is, your main prayer. It could be for this or that. But Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He said, I want to know Christ. Not that he wasn't praying for nothing else, y'all. But he said, this is my most important prayer. This is my main prayer, to know him. Do you really want to know him tonight? Because some of us would rather know this celebrity, that person. When they invite you to come over, you're coming. But when Christ's having a gathering to his house, it's not always a desire to be there. What's going on? He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. That's what the psalmist said. So you got to be like Paul. Paul said, to know him, that's my main priority in life. I want to know him better than I know my children, better than I know my wife, better than I know my pastor, my leaders, better than I know anybody. I want to know him. Mm-hmm. So to pick up where we left off, I want to talk about some more areas. We got to keep Christ at the forefront of our mind. We want to be so satisfied in Christ. So you have to be content when you're in a place you don't want to be in. When you're in a place you don't want to be in. If you don't want to be in here tonight and you're not saved, you need to be content. That's my first point. Be content. It's coming. But I want to tell you about a man named Daniel. Somebody say Daniel. Daniel was a prophet of God. And Daniel was taken from his land and brought to a strange land. Somebody say a strange land. It was a land he was not familiar with. He was brought to Babylon. Babylon, the word Babylon means confusion. He was brought to a land titled confusion. He living in a place that means confusion. Now, Daniel didn't want to be in Babylon. Daniel prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to be back in Jerusalem. I want to be home, Lord. But guess where Daniel stayed at? In Babylon. He stayed in confusion. And guess where Daniel died at? In Babylon. In the place called confusion. But guess what Daniel did while he was in Babylon, the place called confusion. He prayed. He served the Lord. He witnessed. He was a witness for the Most High, even in the place he didn't feel like being in. He didn't want to be in Babylon around all the wickedness. But he still served the Lord, even at the threat of his life. When they threw him in the lion's den, he didn't want to be there for sure. But he still served the Lord in confusion. Where are you today? What place of confusion do you have going on? What's your Babylon? I know we in America, and we was brought here like Daniel, not by our own will. We in a strange land too. But in your personal place, besides America, we know we're not comfortable here, the police shooting our people, all that. But in your personal life, what's your Babylon, your place of confusion you don't want to be in? Huh? Is it your job? If it's your job, say amen. No, I'm not. We got a lot of people not satisfied with their job. You're not content with your job. You call that a place of confusion. Oh, I got to go see Pharaoh today. It just, you can't stand your job. But even though you might not want to be at that job, just like Daniel didn't want to be in Babylon, how are you operating in Babylon? Are you still being a witness for God? Are you still letting your light shine before men that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven? No, it ain't the best job. And no, you don't want to be there. But how are you operating? Are you content to still be satisfied with Christ even though you're not working the job you want to be working? You're not working around the people you want to be working around. You're working around some sinners, which you once were a full-blown sinner yourself. So don't forget where you come from. Hello. But Daniel was around pagan people, worshiping all kind of false gods around him, and he's still letting his light shine. If Daniel can do it, you can do it also. It's nothing too hard for the Lord. This is written for our example, y'all. There was another man named Joseph. Somebody say Joseph. Y'all familiar with him, right? Pastor been handling that Sunday, man, doing an awesome job. The Bible says that Joseph was in what? Slavery. Now, who gonna volunteer to be a slave? Nobody. Joseph in slavery. You think he wanted to be that? I didn't think so. Joseph didn't want to be in slavery. Joseph, a young man, 17 years old when he sold into slavery. He there for years, years, years. He didn't want to be there. He had a vision. He had a dream from God that God showed him was going to happen. He was waiting on it. He did not want to be there. But guess what Joseph did? Joseph still served the Lord in slavery. Joseph interpreting other people's dreams, helping them out. Even when he in a place he don't want to be, he helping other people. He shouldn't even be in that place rightfully. But these people committing crimes, they should be in prison. And he helping them out in a place that he don't want to be. Where are you? Is it your marriage? Is that your slavery? Hopefully not. But like I say, is it your job? Where is it that you don't want to be? Wherever it is, just know that you have a purpose there, and it's for an appointed time. You have to be content in the Lord, even in that hard situation, until the Lord bring you out. I mean, Jesus said this in John 17:15. He says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. This is Jesus, God the Son, praying to God the Father. He said, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. Now listen, now. Everybody, I can't wait to get off this planet and go to heaven. Jesus didn't even say that was his will for you off the top, now. Jesus said, I don't pray that you just take them all off the planet. I want them to stay in that wicked planet with them wicked people, with that wicked devil Lucifer. And while they're on that wicked planet, I want them to let their light shine. I want them to glorify me. I want them to witness and show that I am the God that reigns in the heavens and earth. I want them to show what can happen when God get a hold of a man or a woman. I want to keep you there. Nobody light a candle to put it on a bushel. He put it on a candlestick so it could provide light for the whole house. He wants you to be that light. He said, I ain't pray that you take them out the earth, Father. Keep them on this earth, Lord. But while they're here, keep them from the wicked one. Keep them from the sin. Keep them from the drugs. Keep them from the alcohol. Keep them from the pornography. Keep them from the enemy. That's what Jesus prayed. He didn't pray that you leave. He prayed that you be content to be here. Because greater is he that's in the Christian than he that working in the world. So we got to be content. All right, guys. Next point. We got to be content with our design. Somebody say our design. Psalms 139 verse 14 says, you, somebody say you. No, not me, you, are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says you were knit together in your mother's womb. I don't care what Hollywood say. Listen to me. I don't care what TV say. No. You have to be content with the design and the way that God made you. You understand? You understand? Because the Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You got to be content with your shape. Shape of your head, shape of your ears, shape of your nose, shape of your lips, shape of everything that you can't control. I'm not talking about poor stewardship. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about just the way, the things you can't help at all. It's how I was born. You understand? My line is start right here. This is just things you can't help. You see what I'm saying? I got a big nose. You see? I'm content with my nose. If we have in a situation where we're running out of air, you're going to wish you had this nose because look, I'm sucking up all the oxygen, snuffleupagus, you understand? Me and John going to be breathing up in that. We're going to be rescuing everybody. Look, them ball with them noses, look. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you got to embrace the things that the enemy try to play you with. If you got big ears, what better to hear you, Lord, with? You understand? You got big hands, look. What better to praise you with, Lord? Whatever it is the devil try to climb your butt, you got to turn that thing around and glorify God with it. Whatever it is. You understand? And so don't let Hollywood, don't let the TV try to make you feel bad about your design. Everybody not shaped the same, and that's all right. The Bible say that we many members, one body. The ear not going to look like the nose. And if I'm an ear and you're the nose, why do I expect us to be shaped the same? It's not going to happen. All right? So just you got to be content. Then with your race and all that as well. They make us feel bad for being black, for being Hebrew. They try to make us feel bad. Like we the scum of the earth. We the worst. Oh, man. Listen. I love, out of one blood, God made all nations of men to dwell on the face of earth. I love all the races of people. But I'm glad that God made me a brother, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I don't feel bad about being a brother. They could make us the first to die in a movie all they want. That's not real, man. We probably be the lone survivor. You understand? So I love being who I am. I love being a brother. You know, and so you got to embrace being who you are. You got to love your hair. You got to love everything about you. Don't covet what thy neighbor has. Be content with what you have. You know, that's what the devil always do. He try to make you not be content with what God gave you and make you want the forbidden fruit, the forbidden thing, the thing that he told you don't worry about. Be content with your design. Give God some glory. Give God some glory. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. All right. Now, we're moving down. This is kind of in the same context. You also got to be content with your gender. Somebody say your gender. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Now, we live in a crazy world today where people can change their gender. You don't want to be a man, you can turn yourself into a woman. You don't want to be a woman, you can turn yourself into a man. You don't want to be a boy, you want to. The Bible say that you need to be content with the way God designed you. God didn't make no mistakes, all right? And look, I'm not here to argue with you, fuss with you, if you was born this way, or if you just, it doesn't even matter how it happened. All you need to know is that God didn't make a mistake when he made you the gender that he made you, all right? If God wanted to make you a girl, he'd have made you a girl. But he made you as a man or a boy, and he made you as a girl, a woman, and you gotta be content with that. For you not to be content is to rebel against God and say, you messed up. I know what's best. This is how I should be. You got it wrong, creator. The creature know better than the creator. How that sound? You got to be content, man. You got to be content. 1 Corinthians 6:9 warns us about not being content about our gender. Follow me now, because people like to ignore this scripture. They're in the church, praising, worshiping, living a lifestyle that's contrary to the word of God, like it's all good. No, man, you can't just overlook the scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not, don't you know, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, tricked, fooled, or played, neither fornicators, people sleeping with somebody that's not your spouse, whether they're the opposite gender or not. Fornicators can't get in the kingdom of heaven. You can't get in. And I know they doing it on TV, it's regular, it's normal. They living together, they shacking up. The Bible say, be not deceived. You cannot get into the kingdom of heaven living a lifestyle like this. Now, some of us didn't live lifestyles like this before. But you cannot continuously live this lifestyle and claim to be born again. When you have the spirit in you, he's going to convict you, and you're going to have to either marry instead of burn. Let's continue. Fornicators can't get in the kingdom. God not a respecter person. He says, nor idolaters, people who worship other things besides the one true and living God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. Whether you're worshiping money, yourself, meism, other people, whatever it is, you can't get in the kingdom either. Bending, bowing to statues, things that be not God, you can't get in. Nor adulterers, cheating on your spouse. Or if you don't have a spouse, you're sleeping with someone who is married. Nor effeminate. Now, this word effeminate in the Greek, or if you have a NLT translation, it's homosexuals. That's what effeminate is. Homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You can go to the next verse, 10. He says, be not deceived. None of these people living lifestyles like this can get in the kingdom. Nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. He said, none of these can get in. But look what he said. And such were some of you. That's my favorite part. He said, and such were some of you. Past tense. Now, he put all them sins together in the same category. None of them is in his own isolated category. He said, and such were some of you. So that means there's hope. That means you can be born again. God can transform you from all those things to a new creation. You see, whether it's natural to you or not is not the question. Things that's natural is not always good. I know we talk about natural hair, natural food. That's good. But all because you naturally are attracted to someone of the same gender, that don't make it right because it's natural. You follow? Many children are born with diseases just naturally. Does that mean the doctor shouldn't correct it? No. All because it's natural, that don't mean that it's of God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was natural. But God said, the day you eat from it, you shall surely. So everything that's natural, not good for you. Think about it. So I want you to know, you got to be content with your gender. Romans 1:26, you can read it on your own time to study. But you got to be content with it. God wants you to be the way he made you. And it's no mistakes. There's a disease out. It's called transposition of the great arteries. It's called TGA. Babies are born with it naturally. It's a condition where two important arteries are switched around to where the blood that's pumped to the heart doesn't have enough oxygen in it. Babies need to have heart surgery immediately, and they're going to be on lifelong medication if they're born with this. Now, they are naturally born with this. But it's a problem that they have to address in the heart. Homosexuality, heterosexualness, where you're fornicating, all of these sins, whether you're born with it or not, it still has to be addressed by giving you a new heart. And that's what Christ can do for you tonight. It don't matter what it is now. Men born loving to sleep with women that they're not married to, does that make it all right? No, it's still sin for the other people too. You got to come to Christ, and he can change those desires and give you new desires. Give God some glory. That's it. That's it. So you got to be content with your gender. All right, we're coming on down. Next, you got to be content with your role in marriage. Somebody say, know your role. Oh. Here we go. All right. You got to be content, men, with being the head. Oh, that's easier. Yeah, you like that one. You got to be content with being the head. And the head doesn't mean you just boss everybody around. The head means you have to make some decisions, man of God. You have to not be so passive letting your wife make all the decisions. You got to make some decisions. You got to be content with being the head. You can't put off raising the family, teaching the children the Bible, doing everything on your wife. You got to be content with your role and you actually seeking God and seeing what's best for your household, not leaving that up to your wife all the time. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Some of them women can't wait for you to leave. I'm telling you, they talking about you, calling you a boy. They want you to leave. And what, you know, they want you to leave, some of them. And whether they want to, you or not, God called you to leave. So whose report you going to believe? The report of the world, the report of your spouse, the report of your own self thinking you're not adequate. It don't matter if you're not adequate. God going to equip you, man. Gideon wasn't prepared. Equip. God equipped Gideon, man. You got to be content being the head, man. Don't be lazy. That laziness make you just want to throw it all on the wife. You can do this. God built you the way he wanted you to carry the load, to handle pressure situations. You the man. You the head. You remember how Martin used to say that? I'm the man. That's you. So you got to get it, man. Now, I know some of y'all thinking, but Brother Parker, I can't just make all the correct decisions God want me to make. You know what they say? Happy wife. Finish it for me. All right. Now, despite popular opinion, that is nowhere in this Bible. I just want to let you know. That's nowhere in the Word of God. Must be in one of them lost books. And it can stay lost. Now listen. So when the Bible says, when people say happy wife, happy life, I know what they're trying to say. You know, the Bible does say that a man's interest is divided when he's married. He got to please the Lord and please his wife to a certain extent. He do have to do that. To a certain extent, but not at the degree of disobeying God to please her. You see what I'm saying? It's a balance. Because let me show you. Happy wife, happy life. How did that work in the garden? Adam had a choice. My wife wanted me to do this, eat the fruit. But God telling me not to eat the fruit. Well, happy wife, happy life. So let me eat the fruit to keep her happy. The whole human race then fell into sin. Because of your happy wife, happy life doctrine. That's false doctrine. Boy, watch yourself. Watch yourself. And so, a happy God, give me a happy life. You understand? And so, that's who we want to please first. But you do have to please your wife to a certain extent. I'm not saying you're not supposed to. But just not at the sake, when God telling you to do something, and she's telling you to do something, I love you, honey, but I got to roll with God. You're going to have to understand. You could be mad if you want, but you're wrong, and now you're in sin now because I'm trying to follow God. And now you, so y'all don't do that to them brothers if they step up now. All right. I see y'all. Some of y'all looking. I'm watching you. All right. Now, look, that was for the fellas. Now we on the ladies. Ladies, you got to be content with your role as a helpmate. Somebody say helpmate. Help. Somebody say help. 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 Say help. 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 H-E-L-P. Help. Yeah, that's it. So you got to be a helpmate. You got to help. 1 Kings 21:25. I want to tell you about a woman who wasn't a helpmate. She wasn't comfortable or content in her role. Her name Jezebel. Somebody say Jezebel. Jezebel wasn't content being a helpmate, being a wife like God intended her to be. She was married to a king named Ahab. All right, king of Israel. The Bible says, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself, prostitute himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his what? Wife, stirred up. Now, he the head, yes. And God going to judge him for doing wickedness. But look who was stirring him up. Look who had their claws in him. Look who was helping him. You know when you stir the pot, you getting it what? You getting it ready. You helping him. She was the instigator of her husband. She was really running it. Yeah, I'm about to show you. Ahab wasn't the king of Israel. Jezebel was. 1 Kings 21:8. Let me show you. Ahab come back home. He asked a man for his field. The man told Ahab, I'm not selling you my field. Ahab come home. Jezebel, he don't want to sell me his field. It say he told Jezebel when you read it. He went to tell on the man to his wife. So she wrote a letter in what? Ahab's name. Took his authority. And sealed him with his seal. I'm using your seal, your signature. And sent the letters unto the elders, to the nobles that were in his city that dwelt with Naboth. She took his seal, took his signature. She doing things that he only can do. She using his authority. That's my power. got the man killed, all because she wanted to be the head. She was in control. It's all throughout the Bible. 1 Kings 19:1. Look what it said. Now, when you the leader, when you the one that people go to, people come tell you their problems, right? The Bible said, look, and Ahab what? Told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. He telling on the prophet. And withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. See, he going to tell on people to her because he knows she going to get it done. 1 Kings 18:19. Now, Elijah heard about all the noise that Ahab was doing, the wickedness he was doing. And Elijah, the Lord said he was tired of that. You remember when Elijah had to gather up all the prophets, correct? And he said, we're going to meet at Mount Carmel. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400. Don't miss it. Which eat at what? Jezebel's table. It ain't Ahab's table. Elijah said, I ain't even scared of him. He talked to Ahab face to face like a man, rebuke him and everything. But when Jezebel came, that's when Elijah started running. He said, it's Jezebel's table. It's not your table. She the head and you the tail. She above, you beneath. She is not content in her role as a helpmate. She the head. And this is what it looks like. Somebody say help. That's what you're designed to do. Isn't it a beautiful thing? But you know they always say good help is what? Hard to find. Have you found your place with helping? Be content with being a helpmate. Don't try to overshadow your husband. Be content with the position God put you in. Y'all give God some glory. All right. Now, y'all, we also got to be content some other places. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 through 41. We got to be content in suffering. Somebody say in suffering. You know I had to mention suffering. You know I couldn't pass. Acts 5:40. It says the disciples was preaching the gospel, y'all, and They grabbed them for preaching in the name of Jesus. And look what happened. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beat them, they beat them bars up, laid hands on them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And then they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Them boy leaving rejoice. Yeah, they beat us up for Christ. Boy, they beat me. Look, my cut bigger than yours. Look. They rejoicing that they could suffer for the name of Christ. They was content to suffer for Christ. They wasn't complaining. They wasn't, nobody like me. They don't want to hang with me no more. Y'all see how far from biblical Christianity we done departed from? When you get saved, people don't want to hang with you. That you're not cool no more to the world. You're tripping. Don't trip. Be content in the suffering of Christ. The Bible says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when men cast your name out as evil and don't want to hang with you no more. He said, great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets were before you. You the salt of the earth. So you got to be content in your suffering. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He had a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what it was. He had something that was bothering him. What's your thorn in the flesh? I call it the thorn of grace, because this thorn in the flesh is something that keeps you close to Christ. It keeps you close to him. It teaches you how to be content even with it. He said, Lord, take this away. He prayed three times for the Lord to take away the thorn. And the Lord told him, I ain't taking away nothing. My grace is sufficient for thee. It is enough for thee. It's enough, he said. He said, you got me, so you're going to be able to endure the thorn. And the thorn is going to teach you how to stay closer to me. It's going to teach you how to be satisfied with me. What's your thorn? Is your thorn your help? They done prayed, laid hands on you, anointed you. You took a bath and anointed on, and you still got that sickness. You done fast, prayed, everything. But it's not leaving. Take it away, Lord, and you keep getting no. What is your thorn that you have to carry in the flesh that keep pricking you? It's agitating. Is it your spouse? Hopefully not. You're going to have to be content with it still. His grace is sufficient. I'm trying to tell you. Grace is sufficient. You better pick them good. No. That's why God let you pick yet, because you did it. And so you got to be content still. Even if your spouse is the thorn, the Bible said that his grace is even sufficient for you. He's going to teach you how to love on a sinner the same way he loved on you. You know, that's something crazy. Oh, we be mad when we got to love on unbelievers. And God just showing you what he had to do with you. We really not like Christ, man. That's the problem. But I praise God for his grace. He conforming us into his image. All right, y'all. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 through 31. I want to show you that being content in suffering is good for evangelism, man. When you content while you're going through, man, that's awesome for evangelism. Man, that shows the glory of God, that he really is enough, that he is the all-sufficient one. You know, Paul said that these things that are happening to me that look bad to you, they are happening for the furtherance of the gospel. He said, I'm locked up in here, but I'm witnessing to these people who I'm locked up with. They're getting saved while I'm in prison. So you're looking at it as a bad thing, but this is for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm getting people saved even in prison, he said. When you're sick in that hospital, you give the gospel to the nurse, the doctor, the cleaner, whoever come in, the people who want to come pray with you, whoever, give them the gospel. The thing that you're complaining about, that might be for the furtherance of the gospel. So here, Paul and Silas, they locked up, y'all. They won't let them out. Oh, no. And it says, in y'all know the story. Why they locked up, what they doing? They praise. They up in there. No one else can receive the glory. They up in there, look, giving him praise. And them other dudes up in there, they like, man, I know them boy ain't up in there singing, man. We locked up. But look, man, they praising him. Content even in a jail cell. And some of us complaining in a house with AC. Wow. But anyway, look what it says. They were so content in their prison cell that something happened. You know that when you're going through storms, you can be like, I call this the wind chime effect. Y'all know what a wind chime is? A wind chime, y'all know these. Y'all see them, right? Whenever the wind blows, they make a sound. But you know whenever a storm comes through and the wind blows even harder, it makes even more sounds? The sound is the most beautiful whenever the storm is there. You know you can be a wind chime. Whenever you in your storm, you make a beautiful sound of praise unto the Lord instead of an ugly sound of complaint. You got to be a wind chime in the kingdom to where you're making beautiful music when you're going through a storm. And that's what Paul and Silas was doing. They was making beautiful music in their storm, praising him, the wind chime effect. And it says, look what happened when they was content in prison. It's an evangelistic tool. It says, and brought them out. The keeper of the jail came in, the man who was over all the prisoners. He saw that the doors of the prison had opened when they was praising. God opened the doors. He said, all of my prisoners gone. They're going to kill me. I'm about to kill myself. But they told him, stop. They was all here. And so he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, boy, ain't that a question you want to hear? But he asked that because he saw how they was content even in their affliction, even in prison. Even when things wasn't going the way they wanted it to go, they were still praising the Lord, man, Jesus Christ. Your contentment can attract people into the kingdom of God. You don't know who watching you, Christian. You don't know who watching you go through that marital problem, that divorce, all those troubles, that financial. You don't know who watching you, man. You got to be content while you're going through. You can attract and draw somebody in the kingdom from being content in the storm. Give God some glory for that, y'all. We got to be content in our storms. Now, look, you also have to be content with the judgment of God when you're doing wrong. Yeah, when you're doing wrong. Yeah, us, when we do wrong. You got to be content when God come down and judge you. The Bible says that if you endure chastening, then you a son. Because God only judges those he loves. You follow me? The difference between David and Saul was this. When Saul sinned, he said, it was the people, Lord. God told him to kill all the Amalekites, kill the king. But he didn't. And then when the prophet rebuked him, it was the people. He didn't want to take his blame. Like Adam, it was the woman thou gave me. But David, when David sinned, killed Uriah, committed adultery with Bathsheba, In Psalm 51:4, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He confessed his sins and he was sorry for his sin. Whenever you do wrong, you got to be content with the consequences of your actions. Whatever it may be. Oh, yeah, whatever it may be, you got to be good with that. You did the crime? Got to do the time, man. That's a man right there. Nothing you can't stand more than somebody doing wrong and want to be falling down in the courtroom when they did. Man, you just killed 60 people, man. Come on. We got to be real in life, man. We got to be content. Look, that point done. I'm done with that. It's all. It's all. Next. You got to be content with the mercy God shows to someone who has done wrong. Because the same way they got to take their punishment, you got to be cool when God shows somebody some mercy that really deserve judgment. Because we all really deserve what? Judgment. The Bible said God has not dealt with any of us according to what our iniquities, our sins really deserve. None. We all would be up in hell if God had to give us what we deserve. So when somebody do wrong in your sight and then God turn around and bless that person, boy, how you act? You mad? You got to be content to watch God lavish his mercy on others. I think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the one who left and left the house. He did wrong, spun his money, his dad's money on riotous living, right? But when he come back, the father put a robe on. He came back repentant now. The father put a robe on. He put a ring on. He killed the best calf. Gave him stuff he didn't even give the brother who stayed. What's your heart when you see that happen? You content with God showing mercy to somebody? I think about the Apostle Paul. Paul out there persecuting the church, locking them up. He not Peter, James, and John, none of the original apostles. But the Bible says that Paul was shown the grace of God at a whole nother level. 2 Corinthians 12:11. He says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing now. He telling them, I'm not behind the other apostles in no area, even though I ain't nothing. You see, because he not going to boast about himself. 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, but I labor more abundantly than them all the other apostles. But look, he know the word, yet not I, but the grace of God that's in me. Because he know that God don't like a man boasting about himself. So Paul, laboring more than all the apostles, was used to write more of the Bible than all the other apostles who never did the sins that he did. Paul was persecuting the church. Peter never did that. Peter got how many books in the Bible? What, 2? 1 Peter, 2 Peter, that's it? Paul wrote more of the Bible than them. And look at the wrong he did. Peter and them boys can't be jealous. When God lavished mercy on another person. Because when you denied the Lord 3 times, nobody bringing that up, Pete. So you got to just be content when the Lord shows mercy to somebody who you feel like he need to judge him. Just that look, I'm just throw that at you now. Now the next part of the scripture, y'all, Paul says in verse 11, he said, I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to therefore be content. And then in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased. Somebody say abased. Abased means to be under. It means to be low. It means to be humble. I know how to be humble. I know how to act under. I know how to get low. I know how to get by with humble means. I know how to be poorer, broke. I know how to make my penny stretch. It means all kind of stuff. And that's what I want to talk about, how to be abased. When he says, I know how to be abased, he knows how to be corrected by others, y'all. Can you be corrected by others? Proverbs 9, verse 8 through 9 says, reprove not a scoffer, lest he hate you. But rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. How are you when someone corrects you? Teachers, parents, church leadership. How are you when you get rebuked? Can you handle it? Because Paul says, I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be under. Wives, how are you when your husband got to rebuke you? How you take that? Do you take it with humility? and respecting his position?
Oh, don't talk to me like that. I ain't your child. What you do? You talk to them children like that. I'm a grown woman. What you do?
You start tripping? You go back to BC? What happened? You like that powder that people be taking you BC? You always go back. You got to be able to be content and know how to be a base. Paul said, I know how to be a base. I know how to come under somebody's authority. And that's the same with church leadership. How you doing, pastor rebuke you? You leave and go to another church? You start slandering them? What you do? When the pastor got to rebuke you, or minister, deacon got to rebuke you, what you do? You just start finding fault in him? Or, I don't like his shoes. I don't like that body. His haircut ugly, too. Well, what you do? I don't know why Cole put that line in his head. You know what I'm saying? Hey, what you do, man? You got to be able to take when you get rebuked. All right? You just got to keep it real. Paul say, I know how to be a base. This also means that you know how to take a loss. Somebody say, take a loss. When he say, I know how to be a base, it means I know how to be under. I know how to go down gracefully. It means you know how to take a loss. When you lose in sports, when you lose in business, the stock market, you might lose friends, people, a job. You can lose cryptocurrency money. You can lose hair. You know how to take a loss, period. You understand? Whatever you lose, you know how to take a loss. Paul said, I know how to be a base. I know how to take a loss. When I lose, I'm not mad. I don't want to fight. I don't want to bump. I ain't talking down on you. Man, you beat me, man. You got me this time. I'm going to get you next time. Lord say the same. But you got that, man. Good game. You understand? You got to be able to take a loss, man. You know, boxing is a gentleman's sport. When I used to box, man, you in there trying to knock the dude head. Or y'all trying to hurt each other, man. And you done drop him. He done drop you. You done drop him. Then when it's all over, you walk up to each other. After you done gave that man a black eye, he done bust your lip, and y'all shake hands. Man, good fight, man. Yeah, good fight, man. You got it. You know what I'm saying? That's how you got to be in life. You got to know how to be a base. You got to know how to take a loss. No sore losers. I want to give you an example out of the scripture. Second Chronicles 26, verse 16. There was a king named Uzziah. Somebody say Uzziah. In the year King Uzziah died, yeah, him. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. There was a king named Uzziah, and he was proud. He had a pride about him, and he didn't know how to be under. Now, he the king of Israel, but he not the priest of Israel. That's what makes Jesus so good. He the prophet, priest, and king. But the king could only do certain things. The king ruled in the political government, but when he come in the temple, it's the high priest. That's his area where he rule at. You understand? That's his dominion. So Uzziah got lifted up with pride, and he decided he going to go in the temple and do what the high priest supposed to do. He going to light the incense. He going to make an offering to the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26:16, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And that's when the high priest rolled up on him. They say, excuse me, this is not your job. And then he was so mad that they rebuked him and told him that he's not supposed to be there, that he got angry, and then leprosy broke out on his face. Then the high priest thrust him out the temple. They kick him out the temple after that. And the Bible says that he died a leper, isolated, living by himself. The king of Israel to a leper, all because he didn't know how to come under in another man's area of authority. You could be the king. You could be a supervisor. You could have your own business. You could be a CEO, millionaire, billionaire. But there's going to be certain places that you go, you're going to have to learn how to be under. You understand? I can't come to your house and try to tell you how to do stuff all because I'm a billionaire. I'm in your house. I have to come under. You understand? And so Uzziah didn't know how to come under. Y'all, let's talk about financial abasement. Somebody say financial. You got to know how to be a base with your finances. And I think we are people that know how to be a base. Coming from slavery, we know about hard times. Paul said, I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. You know, it gets to the point where we know how to be a base so good. You come over there, man. They got that 5-day notice talking about they're going to cut your lights off. You ain't even moved by that. That don't even bother. You're like, all right, we got 5 days, so Saturday, Sunday don't count. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, so I got to the third. All right, yeah, I'm going to pay it by then. It's all good. You content. You know how to be under. You're not tripping about being under, not having that. You remember when you were small? When you were small and you used to get off the bus and you know they used to put the red tag on your door? You trying to walk all slow, tie your shoe and you got some penny loaves. You don't want nobody to know that's your house with the red tag on there. Man, now they don't do it like that no more. So I heard. And so, you got to be able to be a basement. Y'all crazy. You know, you walk in that old house, you hit the switch, up, lights out, got about 4 more hours of daylight. Let's go play. You go play outside. Get the candles, mama, the lights out. We get the candles out like it's nothing. Put them windows up. Are we going to go stay at a cousin such and such? I mean, that's just how we do it. Till we pay the bill. We not tripping because the lights on now. This is a good thing, though, y'all, to a certain extent. You're not tripping when hard times come. Especially our people. Man, we ain't losing our mind now. Some other people, man, look, them boys come in. The lights are out. What we going to do, honey? Oh, life is over. Boy ready to commit suicide over some money. Why I need to kill myself because I didn't pay you? I don't understand. You don't have your money. I ain't killing myself because I ain't pay you. You understand? Oh, no. Oh, no. We know how to be a base. We know how to ride with a car with no AC. Put the windows down. We roll it, roll. Back all wet. Boy, you know, look. You about to go somewhere? Oh, no, why you got that hanger? I can't put my outfit on right now. I'm going to be sweating. We know how to be a base. You know how to work it. You dress when you get there, when your car don't have no AC. You understand? Oh, yeah, we know how to be a base. In whatever situation, your car don't want to start, tap the starter. Get the screwdriver. Tap the starter. There it go. We riding now. Room. I'm trying to tell you. We know how to be content when we don't have too much to eat. Get the Jiffy and the eggs. Cornbread, again. Rice and eggs. Get the ketchup. Ramen noodles. In the name of Jesus, Jehovah Jireh done provided. You understand? We know how to be a base. We just keeping it real. We know how to get by with little means. We know how to make a dollar stretch. You understand? What you saying, Lynn? Well, yeah, mama. You understand? You might get tired of eating it, but remember the previous text. Be content with such things that you have. Ecclesiastes 7:14, y'all, look at this. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Oh, it's payday. Everybody happy on payday. But in the day of adversity, when the fund's low, when you're abased, consider God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. He don't want you loving money more than him. So he let them days when the money go down come on purpose. To see how you're going to act. You shouldn't even be moved by money no more. I got the one needful thing. You understand? If I got the iPhone, what iPhone out right now, y'all? What's the newest one out? 10? If I got the iPhone 10, when you come to give me an iPhone 1, am I going to be moved by that? Because I have the what? The greater. So when you offer me the lesser, I'm not going to be impressed with that. If I got Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price, what can you offer me that's going to move me and impress me like that? You could come with $1 billion, $1 trillion, a truckload of cars. None of that's going to impress me. I got the one needful thing, the King of Glory is with me on the inside. Like Paul told him, boy, your money perish with you. Thought you could buy the gift of God with money. So that's just, man, look, we know how to be a base. I don't know where that come from. You know, y'all, Bizzle got a song, when the money get low, some folk forget everything they know. So I'm asking you, when the money get low, do you forget all the scripture you know, when the money get low? Low. I'm telling you, listen, don't forget about the Lord when the money get low. Paul didn't forget about the Lord when the money got low. Paul said, I know how to be a base. I know how to get by with Lil. I know how to make it stretch. Oh, yeah. Y'all, the prosperity of the wicked is something God don't want us to be envious of. When you see the wicked prospering and balling and doing good, he don't want you to be jealous of that, none. I'm serious. Let me give you an example. Inmates on death row, they get to enjoy their last what? Meal. And their last meal, they get them what? Whatever they want. Correct? Now, it's the mercy of the court system, the mercy of the jail, that they let them get whatever they want because they know they're about to what? Die and get judged. They're about to get judged and die. Correct? So, the Lord allows the lost to prosper because God is letting them enjoy their last meal. He know that they about to die and bust hell wide open. So it's the mercy of God that lets them ball while they're here. I'm serious. You should feel bad for them. The Bible says, I was envious of the prosperity of the wicked, but he said that they're going to be cut off shortly and they're going to be gone forever. I'm not jealous of nobody who rich and don't have the law. They balling, but they on drugs. They balling, but they not content. They got more problems than me. I'm more happy in the hood in the projects than they are in Beverly Hills. You understand? Because money don't satisfy. The Bible says, he that loveth money shall not be satisfied with money or great riches. The Bible says, the eyes are never satisfied with sin. I'm trying to tell you, man, we got to be low. We got to be low. There was a man named Danny Simpson. Somebody say Danny. Danny robbed a bank for $6,000. He hit him for $6,000 in Canada. True story. Now, Danny robbed the bank with a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic made by the Ross Rifle Company back in 1918, limited edition antique firearm, valued at $100,000. He robbed the bank for $6,000 with a gun that's worth $100,000. He went to jail for 6 years, and they took the gun from him because it was used in the robbery. He couldn't get it back. I told you that story to show you that he was out there covered in what the bank had when he didn't realize what he had in his own possession was more valuable than what they had at the bank. What the Christian has is more valuable than what the unbeliever got. So you don't need to be covered in what they got. You got the pearl of great price, the one needful thing, Jesus Christ, the friend that stick closer than a brother. We got to know how to be a base, y'all. Jesus was perfect at knowing how to be a base. The Bible said he humbled himself unto death, even the death of a cross. Jesus, the King of Kings, sitting in heaven in a perfect place, sinless. He come down to this filthy earth for you, for me. Live a sinless life, 33 years, for you, for me. If this not learning how to be a beast, I don't know what is. He humbled himself and became a man. He was obedient unto death. He dedicated 33 years of his life to live for some other people. Would you live for 33 years for somebody else who don't even like you? You know they don't like you. They can't stand your ways. They hate your word. But you're going to go dedicate 33 years of your life to live for them? You're going to leave heaven and come to earth for them? Man, sometimes you don't even want to go pick somebody up when they call you for a ride. If I told you I'm in China right now, you go come get me? You wouldn't want to go from a continent to another continent. I could tell you I'm on the south side by the mall. Some of y'all ain't going to want to come pick me up. Oh, I was in my bed. I was coming. But the Lord left heaven, came to earth for you. That's the love of God, man. That's the love of God that passed it understand. And then he humbled himself and died on the cross. Because the wages of sin is death. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not a person up in here who never sinned. And if you sin, you got a problem. Because the punishment for your sin is death, eternal death. You're on your way to hell. But God, send us a Savior, Jesus Christ, who demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. He died on the cross in our place. You should have been on that cross. I should have been on that cross. We all should have been on that cross. He died in your place as your substitute, rose on the third day bodily with a glorified body that could eat, not a ghost, a body. As proof that God the Father accepted his death as payment for your sins. Nobody else ever done that before. Therefore, you can come to no one else for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name, no other person under heaven by which we must be saved, but Jesus Christ of this Bible, Yahshua. He the only Savior. He the only way. No one else can get you in. If you're trusting in your own works, he said that's filthy rags to him, man. Good deeds does not take away the debt that you owe. if you owe me $1 billion and you wash my car, you still owe me $1 billion. I don't care what good deeds you do. If you kill somebody and then go do some good deeds, the judge don't want to hear that. That's nice that you did that, but you still got to answer for this over here. And nothing can wash away your sins but the blood of Christ. It's the only thing that can set you free. The Bible said we saved by grace through faith, not works, lest you should be bragging. He saves us. You can't save yourself. The Bible says if you call on Christ, he'll save you. But you can't earn it. You got to just believe. The Bible says in Galatians 2, at the end of the chapter, Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. He's trying to save you for free. No, I'm going to work for it. You can't work for it. He said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died, came to earth, all that for nothing, if you could save yourself. Jesus is the Savior. Call upon him tonight and be saved. Jesus knew how to be a base, y'all. Now I want to talk about, Paul said, I know how to abound. Somebody say abound. Everybody don't know how to abound, y'all. We think that, oh, well, being a base hard, man. It's hard being broke. It's hard balling, too. It's hard being rich. It's hard having money. It's hard being up. People think it's easy being up. I think it's harder being up than being down. I'm going to be real with you. Listen. Listen. The lottery winners, y'all think they knew how to be up? Bought win all that money. Then what happened? Broke right after that. Everybody don't know how to abound. Now, Paul said, since I'm content with Christ, when I get something, when I get blessed, I still know how to act, man. I'm trying to tell you, man. There was a man in the Bible named Nebuchadnezzar. He had a kingdom called Babylon. It was beautiful, the Bible said. But then one day, he come out there. He didn't know how to be up. He didn't know how to abound, y'all. He said, is this not great Babylon, which I have built? And he forgot it was the Lord who gave him the power to get wealth. The Lord gave him that king. Right when he said that, a voice came from heaven. Told him that he was going to be judged. And that God had taken his kingdom from him. And he was going. The Lord drove him out of his mind. He was in the field eating grass like an animal. Until he humbled himself and realized it was the Lord that reigned in the kingdoms of men. He didn't know how to be up. He didn't know how to abound, yo. There was a man named Amazer. Somebody say Amazer. He was an arrogant king in 2 Chronicles 25:17. He had beat the enemies of Israel, the Edomites. He had beat them. And so now he's feeling himself. You ever saw somebody who got a little victory, now they feeling themselves? They did something good, now they think they all that. So he challenged another king. And his name was Joash. He said, Joash, I didn't beat Edom. He said, come out and fight me in the field. Come meet me. Let's go to war. Look what the Bible said. And Amasa, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Joash, and the son of Judah, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face. 2 Chronicles 25:19. This is what the king told him. Thou sayest, lo, you have smitten or beaten the Edomites, and your heart is lifted up to boast. Abide now at home. Why should thou meddle to thy hurt? That thou shouldest fall, even thou in Judah with thee. So what the other dude said, look, man, you beat them balls over there. But now you lift it up. You don't know how to abound. You don't know how to handle a win. You don't know how to handle success. You done won a battle with them. Now you coming to me. You're not ready, man. He said, you don't want to fight with me, man. He said, why I need to hurt you and all of Judah? He didn't listen. Joash came meet him on his own home turf, y'all. Read it tonight. Read it tonight. He had home turf advantage. Man, Joash beat the brakes off him, the Bible. See, the Bible say he had them ball running out there in confusion. After he beat him, it say he came, took all the gold, all the silver out of the temple, broke down the wall of Jerusalem 200 yards, then took Amasa back to his kingdom captive like a slave. All because he didn't know how to abound. Didn't know how to handle being up. Got the big head. Proud of life, got a hold of him. What area don't you know how to handle being up in? What is it? You sing a good song. You do a nice dance. You preach a good sermon. You do something good at the job. You do something good, get a promotion at work. Now you forgot that you was just working with them other brothers. Now you're just talking to them crazy. No more respect. You don't know how to be up. Keep in mind, the Lord give it, but the Lord take it away. If you don't know how to be up, the Lord will say, give me that. That's my promotion. Lord, I'll debo you, man. I'm telling it. I'm trying to tell you, man. There was another man, guys. Somebody say Herod. King Herod, y'all, he was giving a speech, kind of like I'm doing now, in Acts 12:21. And he was talking, y'all, and all the people, they said it's the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord smote him because he gave God not the glory. You see that song Brian and them were singing? No one else can receive the glory. The glory belongs to you. That's what he failed to do. So the Lord smote him. This is a true story. Real king. He died 5 days later because he didn't give God the glory. He didn't know how to handle the praise of men. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. He didn't know how to handle the praise. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:21, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised by others. When somebody come up to you, tell you, good job, you did good, you did awesome, you did great, you better defer that praise to the Lord God Almighty, to Jesus Christ, or the Lord will deal with you. He'll smite you, he'll take you out. Man, y'all, on your personal time, I want y'all to go study King Hezekiah. Isaiah 39:1-12. He a show off. People came to his house just to see how he was doing. He was sick. He started showing them his whole kingdom. Look, y'all, I got gold here. I got gold there. I got treasure hidden here. He showed them everything. A show off. And they came back. And guess what happened? They jacked him. Took all his stuff. Took the gold off the doorpost. Took it to Babylon. Because he showed off. I done talked to jack boys in the neighborhood. One thing they can't stand is a show off. Not somebody who got something content with it. Nothing. They just good. But a show off? Are you a show off? Do you show off things to people who are not your friends and who don't really love you like that? You just putting it in their face. I'm not saying you got to hide your blessing, though. You can publish your praise there. But you know when somebody showing off. You can tell when they done crossed the line. Y'all know we know. Oh, look, he's showing off. He ain't even had the pass right. He's just trying to show off. You understand? Don't be like Hezekiah, show off. If you're a show off, that means you don't know how to be up. You don't know how to abound. Now listen, guys, I wanna close with this. Paul said, I learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. And there's nothing that can satisfy you if you're a Christian but Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ is the only thing that satisfies God the Father? The Bible says that he satisfied the wrath of God the Father on the cross. He is the propitiation, the satisfaction of the wrath of God. God the Father is only satisfied with Jesus Christ. It's his offering on the cross. That's why that's the only thing that can save. If you're lost in here, a lot of the things I said don't even apply to you. Because the Bible says that you can be content in your wicked ways. That's not the type of contentment you should have tonight. The Bible says light is coming to the world, but men prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds is evil. No, I don't want Jesus. I'm good with my sin. I prefer my sin over the Lord. You're content in your sin tonight. If you are content in your sin tonight and you don't know the Lord, I want to challenge you to taste and see if the Lord is good. I want to challenge you to see if Christ is not better. Christ is better than all sin. Than all sin. And he will satisfy. If you're lost tonight, call upon the name of the Lord. And he'll save you just where you are. Just where you are. Bow your heads with your eyes closed. The Bible said, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe, when you call, he'll save you. If you don't mean it, nothing will happen. Say, Lord, save me. Come into my life. Let me know you, Lord. I want to be content. Satisfy my soul. Save me, Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Deliver me from sin. And use me for your glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. Give God some glory.
How about that, y'all? How about that, y'all? Y'all see why we call him Hitman? That boy start hitting, he don't stop. I know he still has some more, but we ran out of time, and that's a blessing, man. Pastor would definitely be proud of you, brother. And amen, amen. And I just want to say, you know, Pastor would be proud of y'all also, because y'all support us when we up here teaching, you know. Y'all support us, man. I thank y'all so much for that. That mean a lot for us, Aunt Parker. That mean a lot for us, man. But thank y'all for a good night. Love y'all, Pastor. Still getting some rest. You know, Pastor go hard. Pastor go hard. And so y'all just keep them in your prayers. And also a few announcements. I think they got the Philly Fat Challenge still going on. You know what I'm saying? But so talk to Frankie, them Heavy, or Sean White after service. And if you want to join in on the challenge, you know, hook up with them. Also, PMG CDs, I think they're still for sale. Support our brothers and sisters. And, you know, that's our labor, y'all. That's our people, you know. You know, so support them. And I just thank y'all, man. Y'all a blessing, man. I love y'all, man. And let me pray for y'all before y'all leave. Lord, I just pray, Father God, you would protect the people of God, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would reward them, Father God, because definitely tonight they diligently did seek you, Father God. So I pray that, Father God, they would get no retribution, no attacks from the enemy because, Father God, they're serving you, Father God. Bless and protect and put a hedge of protection. I pray, Father God, that their house be better than when they left it, Father God. I pray, Father God, checks in the mail. I pray, Father God, healing. I pray, Father God, that the prodigal children would come back, Father God, because they're serving you, Father God. I'm just praying, Father God, you give us all these things, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Love y'all. Y'all be blessed.
This is your word that you've been waiting for all night. Darwin, where are you? How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us?
Hallelujah.